Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I can't believe it's Friday already. It is Friday already. That's crazy. We must have just had a great week here. I'll have to try to recall later. But the week flew by. And now we've got a great Friday show for you. Second hour, Jimmy will be here and we'll do a bonus hour of open forum. So we'll close the work week with a bonus hour of open forum. This hour, in a weird kind of twist for me, because usually Rose comes into the studio, but from her home in the Inland Empire, Rose Sweet is our guest, and we're going to talk about grounds for divorce. And first of all, welcome, Rose. Welcome.
Hi. I'm. It's weird not being in the studio either, but I have a son coming in from Florida, so I decided to stay home.
Oh, why? Your family lives in sunny places.
Yeah, we like the sun.
Yeah. Did I say it right? Is it the Inland Empire or is that a different part of California?
That's the armpit of our diocese, I think, San Bernardino. I'm out in the Shishi Lala area of Palm Springs.
Oh, okay. I apologize that I moved you out of the Shishi Lala area. Okay. Our number is 888-318-7884. There's endless confusion around what not that there should be, but there is endless confusion around what the church teaches about divorce, about annulment, about remarriage. And as always, you're welcome to ask those questions. That's what Rose does. She's an expert in that, written a bunch of books. She's a wonderful speaker. You can find out all about what she does at rosesweet.com, or you can just call and ask your question here, 888-318-7884. So, Rose, let me start by asking you this. I think many people have the impression that the Catholic Church has gone kind of lenient on divorce. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. You know, sadly, most people don't take the time or the effort to dig deep into the truth of what's going on, so they just grab the sound bites, as it were, and off they go. And if you have a warm, fuzzy Jesus already in your life, then Jesus is warm and fuzzy and loosey-goosey on the whole marriage, divorce, annulment thing as well. So, you know, people think that they can just get a divorce for a lot of different reasons. I'm not happy, or, you know, we're going to talk about some not grounds for divorce.
Okay, so maybe we'll start there. So you've listed some things where people maybe think that this would, that the Catholic Church would say, okay, that's a reason to get a divorce, but they are not actually grounds for divorce. So let's start there.
Okay, the first one I would say is, well, my husband or my wife is a narcissist, so that's grounds for divorce. Well, narcissism in various levels and stages is rudeness and self-centeredness. So no, that's not grounds for divorce or annulment. You know, it may be the tip of the iceberg of a lot of other big problems, but you just can't get a divorce because your husband or wife is a narcissist, especially in your opinion.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. Because we're not always disposed to make the most dispassionate evaluations of our spouses, especially when we're mad.
Well, exactly. Okay, so what's another one that people, number two, this is really not grounds for divorce, is I'm bored and we really have fallen out of love, especially when the kids are gone. I know a lot of older couples say, well, we're not content. We've fallen out of love. We gave it a good shot for a while. Now we get to divorce and try something new. So that you can't, if you're just because you fall out of love, don't have those feelings anymore, because, you know, the marital consent, your marriage bond comes from an act of the will, not your emotions.
Is this a common thing, actually, where the kids move out and spouses feel like there's no point anymore?
Yes, they've either repressed a lot of their difficulties or their struggles, or they haven't worked on them, or they don't want to work on them. And now and they stay together for the kids, and, you know, rightly so in most cases. And now the kids are gone, and they're still, you know, 50, 60, they got energy, they got passion, and they want something else. They're ready to move on.
You're saying there are 60-year-olds with energy and passion? Because I that makes me feel terrible about myself. All right. Fair enough. You got anything? Okay, so it's not grounds for divorce because you're married to a person who's rude, selfish, narcissistic, annoying, cold, all that. It's not grounds for divorce to say we've grown apart, we're bored with one another, we're no longer in love. What else you got?
Well, now here's one that has a lot more weight to it often is my husband or wife is addicted to pornography and there's been an affair. The church has always taught that that is a very serious indicator of problems, first with the person and then in the marriage. It's not a marriage problem. It's a personal problem that manifests and is lived out in the marriage. And you need counseling. You need help. You need support. But pornography addiction and a sexual affair, even an emotional affair, in themselves are not grounds for divorce or annulment. Now, let me qualify that. If it's longstanding, if it was antecedent, it was before the marriage, and it's a huge issue and it's causing other problems, then maybe. But just if my husband is addicted to porn, that's not grounds for divorce.
But it is an indication that help is needed, though. It's hard to say what went on in previous generations, but the availability of internet pornography just seems to be crippling marriages.
Yes, it does. And at the same time, though, pornography is, it's really not the root issue. It's the symptom of something much deeper. And all these things that we're talking about, the five that we're going to throw out here today that are not grounds, they are indicators that everybody needs to go to a therapist or a spiritual director and get some help.
If you've got questions about the Catholic teaching on marriage, divorce, annulment, forgiveness, reconciliation, all those things that are part of this world of marriage, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Our guest is Rose Sweet, and right now we're going through some things that maybe people think are grounds for divorce, but from the Catholic perspective, these are not grounds for divorce. What else have you got, Rose?
The next one is very difficult and hard to bear for a lot of people, and it's we're not having sex. There hasn't been any intercourse, no sexual relations, maybe for decades. And again, that's a sorrow for one or both of the people, and it can have a lot of different reasons for that. Every case is unique, but that in itself is not grounds for saying, well, I'm out of here. I'm getting a divorce because you're not available to me. So the church is very clear that part of the marital debt, part of the marital bond that we owe each other is that beautiful, free, and loving access to each other sexually. But there's lots of times when we don't have that. Your wife is sick. Your husband is in the war in another country, fighting for his country. There's lots of logical reasons where you're not going to be having sexual intercourse with your spouse. But if it's just, the reason, there's lots of different reasons, but just because you're not having it doesn't mean that you can file for divorce.
Okay. That brings us to number five. What's your number five? These are items that people might think, yeah, this is reason for divorce, but the church will not say that that's a reason for divorce. It may be a reason for a profound intervention, but not necessarily a reason for divorce. What's the last one that you're going to give us?
Well, the last one is also very difficult for people. My husband or wife has financially ruined us. Mm. You know, especially we women, we desire security in all our relationships, but part of our motivation to marry is security. And that's how God wired us. And when you lose financial security, you can be terrified of the future. If the person has ruined you or you're going, to the poorhouse, that's not reason for getting the divorce lawyer and running off. It's get help, get help.
We always hear about the for richer or poorer.
That's because money is a huge issue in every relationship.
Right.
Not just marriage. The minute you have a money issue between two people, things can really change pretty quickly. So...
The number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about divorce, but if you have questions about the Catholic teaching on marriage, any questions about the Catholic teaching on marriage, they are welcome here. 888-318-7884. So it does sound like, if I were to sum up, it sounds like you might be saying the church just never permits divorce.
And we've talked about this before, and thank you for bringing it up. Yes, in some rare cases, the church will permit you to civilly divorce, and it does not constitute a moral offense as long as there's some serious issue and you're divorcing to protect yourself physically or emotionally, or life has become unbearable, or you're protecting the kids, or even you're protecting your inheritance.
Oh, okay. So that goes back to the one where somebody financially ruined you. Like, you could protect your money, so to speak, by saying there's a civil divorce so that the other person can't get it.
Well, and it's very nuanced. And that's the thing. Most people aren't willing to do the work and, you know, read everything about this and find out. And they just go, oh, well, yes. But no. Oh, okay. So here's an example. And I've brought this up before. If your husband is, or wife is in a skilled nursing facility and you don't have the money to support or take care of them, and civil divorce is a way that you can separate your assets, as it were, so that maybe the state or the federal government can come in and assist in the care of that person, it may be permitted, divorce maybe, to protect the financial, you know, you got an old lady and her husband's in the rest home, she's going to go down.
Yeah.
So, and not in all cases, and we have to qualify this so carefully, because, you know, people will take this and run with it. But the church, she's not cold and harsh and not without compassion.
I would imagine in some places, too. I mean, the world is big and it has all kinds of rules. There are probably places where a woman receiving an inheritance, it would go to her husband if she, you know, that she may not be able to receive that inheritance on her own if she remained married.
Yeah, and we can go down a whole bunch of bunny trails, and especially, you know, when we talk about prenups, that's a whole nother ball of wax. You know, normally a prenup at the beginning of the marriage can invalidate the bond, because in general, it is saying, I don't want to hand over all of who I am and all that I have. I want to protect this from you in the event we get divorced. So already there's a little teeny sliver of openness to divorce, the possibility of divorce.
The number is 888-318-7884. We have to take the break, but we have gotten to the part where we're talking about what are legitimate grounds for divorce in the view of the Catholic Church. Your questions are welcome. Just one line open, and I am going to get to callers, so don't worry. We're going to get to you when we come back. We'll be back with more with Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1999. The shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament of Our Lady of the Angels Monastery in Hansville, Alabama is consecrated. Mother Angelica says, "The happiest day of my life was the day this church was dedicated."
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Rose Sweet, and we're talking about grounds for divorce in the view of the Catholic Church. If you have questions about that, 888-318-7884. One thing to clarify, Rose, when I say in the view of the Catholic Church, this is not one of those things where we go, well, Jesus didn't have anything to say about it. He actually had a great deal to say, and it was very clear what he said about marriage.
It is, you know, but it's simple, but not simple at the same time. And that's, thank God we have the church to help everybody go into these issues from their own particular situation and really tie that into what our Lord said.
So you went through some things that are not grounds for divorce. We were talking before the break about things that might, in fact, be grounds for divorce, like keeping yourself safe, keeping your children safe, protecting an inheritance, especially in the case of illness. Did you want to do any more grounds for divorce, or do you want to go to the phones?
Let me just throw out, just if people are interested in this, let me throw out what some of the grounds for divorce are. An annulment, one or both of the people is utterly incapable of bearing the weight of exchanging the rights and obligations due to each other in marriage. And that could be from mental illness, psychological issues, brain damage, their ignorance of who the other person is. You know, it doesn't happen a lot, but sometimes there are people that have another wife and kid in another town. And that is some, that's legitimate grounds for separation and sometimes a divorce. Fraud, if somebody's really defrauded you about who they are, a condition put on the marriage. I'll stay married. Now this, this is really common nowadays. I will stay married to you as long as you're faithful to me. If you're ever unfaithful, that's it. I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a condition. That's not for better or worse.
Yes. So does that, like, right from the root, make the marriage invalid if the person had put a condition on the marriage?
Yes. Or might it? Yes, but we remember that when two people get married, we assume that everything was right, and it's a putative marriage. We assume there's a valid bond there. But if it falls apart and they come to the tribunal and present facts, it may be discovered and proven that that condition was there. Not everybody knows the condition is there. It usually doesn't show up until the person bolts.
Oh, yeah, and then you find out they always had this condition.
Right.
888-318-7884, the number. Rose, phones?
Yeah, let's go. Wait. I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
Aren't you guys going on a cruise sometime soon?
Oh, why, thank you for asking in a completely natural and unrehearsed way. Yes, June 29th, July 6th, the Catholic Answers Cruise starts in Montreal, goes up to Quebec, Nova Scotia, Baja, Maine, Boston, Massachusetts, and we're going to have a great time. And if you want to find out about it, go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com, CatholicAnswersCruise.com. Why, thank
Yay.
You, Rose.
You're welcome. You know, I don't get to go with you this time, but I think I did mention I went on the one years ago in that same itinerary, and it was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Oh.
And you get to talk to all the apologists on board every day. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you, Rose, for that endorsement.
It is.
All right, now we're going to the phones.
Okay, good.
That was completely natural, Rose, the way we pulled that off. Abraham's in Atlanta. Atlanta's in Georgia. Abraham's watching on YouTube. Go ahead, Abraham, with your question for Rose Sweet.
Hey, I wanted to ask, if you get married civilly but not through the church, is that still a valid marriage in the eyes of the church? And just real quick, does the annulment process take longer for some people?
Okay, two great questions. Number one, if you are a validly baptized Catholic and you don't marry in the Catholic manner, that's through the church, and you go outside maybe to a judge or whatever, that automatically invalidates that consent. But you have to still go through the paperwork process to prove that. That case is very quick. That's called a lack of form. It wasn't in the proper Catholic form that you married. And you fill out your paperwork. And in most dioceses, it takes about less than a month to process. However, other cases can take a year or more. Does that help?
Yeah. So even let's say you get married in a Protestant church. Is that the same? Would that be like kind of the same issue?
If you're a baptized Catholic and you get married in the Protestant church without the permission of your bishop and no Catholic priest receiving your vows, just you went over to her church or whatever, it's not a valid bond, not a valid marriage bond. But to be free from that, you still have to go to the tribunal and fill out the paperwork and show them what you did and what happened. And that doesn't take very long. Is that something that happened to you or somebody you know?
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
Okay,
so
good.
I just want to know, like, what I have to do.
You get yourself right down to your parish priest, and you make an appointment with him, and you introduce yourself and tell him your story, and he will help you out, and it should be pretty quick and painless. But I would, as my motherly instinct to you, dear caller, is don't just rush through the paperwork. Stop and reflect on why you did that and what happened and how you want to move forward as a good Catholic man.
Abraham, thank you very much for the call. I'm going to keep moving just because there's lots of folks on, but thank you. I hope that that was helpful to you. Mike's in Arkansas. Mike, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
All right. Thanks for taking my call. So I have a family member who was married, raised Catholic, married in the Catholic Church, was married for several years, multiple children. Husband became violent. Just kept getting worse and worse. She tried for many years to go to counseling. He wouldn't have any of it. That culminated into kidnapping. She ended up getting divorced and has remarried. And I think the Catholic Church's teaching on remarriage has hurt her. And has kept her outside of the church since then. I've recommended her talking to a priest to, you know, see if there are grounds for annulment there. I don't know that there are. But could there be grounds for annulment, or any recommendations on how to approach that with her? Because, you know, I've got concern for her and concern for the kids who are not being raised in the church now.
Okay, Mike.
Right, that's a sad situation. Well, there may be, when somebody turns violent, that may be an indication that there was something present on the day they said I do that grew like a cancerous tumor or whatever. There may be grounds for annulment, but it takes a lot of time and difficult questions and patience to do the digging to find the truth in that situation. And when you go to your local parish, God bless them, you know, pastors are overworked and everybody's overworked and underpaid. You might not find a qualified person to go real deep into these issues, and they might just hand her the packet and say, here, fill this out. So you could pray for her and then guide her and maybe help her find somebody. It doesn't have to be at her parish. A wise and holy priest, or even a lay person who can help her go back into that marriage and explain to her with compassion and clarity why the teachings on marriage and divorce and remarriage are there and what they mean and what it's doing to her to cut herself off from the church and the grace that Jesus wants for her and her family. So if you ever want to reach out to me after the show, rose@rosesuite.com. This is what I do for a living. I love to help people. Reach out and I'll help you some more if I can.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for the call. The number is 888-318-7884. Rose Sweet is our guest. We started by talking about the grounds for divorce, some things that people may think are grounds for divorce in the Catholic view that are not, and then some things that might be grounds for divorce. If you have questions in that regard or about the Catholic teaching on marriage in general, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Michelle is in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on the Sacred Heart Radio Network. Michelle, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Thank you. I'm not really calling for myself. I just have various people in my family and friend circle that I just wonder about these things. I've not really addressed it to them. I'm just wondering, because sometimes a little bit of it comes up, skirt around the edges sort of conversations. And anyway, what about alcoholism? Does that play a part in being a reason to divorce someone, when it just gets worse and worse and they don't do anything for themselves to get help? They might be taken by a family member, you know, to be put someplace where they can get help, but they just don't follow up with it or go to the meetings or or ever admit that they actually are an alcoholic, or that they have a problem. The problem actually is on everyone else's shoulders.
Yeah, no, that's tough. And alcoholism is not isolated. It does hurt everybody. The church is very clear. Alcoholism by itself does not invalidate a marriage bond. It's a difficulty. But if the alcoholism progresses and gets really worse and bad things are happening, the spouse may have the right to separate or even legally divorce, but the marriage bond still stands. And that's hard for people to understand, but it depends on each situation. And I hear the music coming up.
Well, we can hang on. I'll let you follow up when we come back, Michelle. We'll be right back with more Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Are you scared to talk about abortion? Don't worry, almost everyone is. You can overcome this fear, as Trent Horn shows in the newly revised and expanded second edition of Persuasive Pro-Life. With a little knowledge and a few proven techniques, you can become a bold and effective apologist for life. Visit shop.catholic.com to order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life and never again be afraid to speak up. Also available at good Catholic bookstores.
Matt Swaim here. Monday on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll look at this week in Catholic history with Kevin Schmiesing and get you all the latest news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is our guest. We're talking about divorce, the Catholic perspective on divorce, those things that are not grounds for divorce in the Catholic view, those things that might be grounds for divorce, and taking calls if you have any question about the Catholic teaching on marriage. Those are welcome here with Rose, 888-318-7884. I didn't want to just send Michelle off. I wanted to come back to you, Michelle. So you had asked just before the break, Michelle, about if alcoholism is a valid reason for divorce and annulment. And did Rose's answer give you any follow-up question that you wanted to ask?
No, it opened a can of worms in my mind as I was waiting for her to talk to her again. There were other questions. I mean, just alcoholism isn't just like people having some drinks and singing funny Irish songs, right, and swinging from the lampshades on the chandelier. But, I mean, I see damage being done to the children, mm-hmm, in these families. So one little girl tried to commit suicide twice, and one of the other cousins was actually successful with it. And I just see this pattern going through years of knowing so many of these people, where it's nothing but pain, heartache, and fear is,
yes,
the main emotions in this family.
Well, what does the church say in those situations, Rose, where there is actual danger to children and you can see the harm that it's doing?
You can go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and look up these sections. 1649 is one. In some cases, which living together becomes practically impossible for a variety of reasons, the church permits the physical separation of the couple. So if the kids and the spouse are being hurt in a million ways, they have the right to be free from that situation. In an act of charity and love and the marital bond, you do try to get your alcoholic spouse into rehab or some other facility, but we all know they don't have to go. I would highly recommend that you come alongside these family members if you can and say, look, the church allows for you to get help. The church says you don't have to tolerate this stuff. But there's a way to do it that's proper and respectful of the marriage bond. It doesn't mean that you have to, be abused. So go get help. And again, as I said to the other callers, anybody can reach out to me after the show, and I'd be happy to direct you in other places to get more help.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks very much for the question. On we go. Todd is in Jupiter, Florida. Todd, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Yes, thank you, Rose. Thank you for the meeting. The subject of marriage, legal marriage, seems to have been instituted under Augustus Caesar about 2,000 years ago in the Western world, further implemented by Emperor Constantine in the 300s. It's a relatively new concept, legal marriage, and here in America, we have a divorce rate of roughly 50% last time I checked. Just seems to me that people get married, the laws protect the wives and the offspring, and provide them with financial restitution from the fathers who are no longer available. Also seems to me that people seem to grow apart over time. Some people are able to be together for decades and do well, but about 50% of people, and they're not all Catholics, obviously, grow apart from each other and want to go their separate ways. My question is to you, Rose, is divorce a sin? Is this a punishable offense? And what ought to be, according to the Catholic Church, what ought to be the punishment or judgment of divorcees?
Okay. First of all, I love this call. I love your questions. I have to disagree that legal marriage came into being recently. God is the one who instituted marriage. Legal is from the law. There were tribes way, way, way back that had laws about marriage. But I don't want to get stuck on that. Your question is divorce a sin? And go to Catechism of the Catholic Church for this, 2383. If there's a legitimate cause for separation and even for civil divorce, a legitimate cause from a grave situation, it does not constitute a moral offense. It is not a sin. Now, does it still do damage and harm and hurt people? Yes, yes, yes. This is part of our fallen, the high divorce rate and everything you're mentioning is part of our sin nature. That's back in the days of Adam and Eve, in the very beginning. We carry this tendency towards self-centeredness and sin. And this is why we have a Savior. This is why we need a Savior, why we need the church and all the graces that we can to overcome the sin of divorce. And the sin, every sin that is harmful to people.
Todd, thank you. Thank you for the call. There are a couple lines open, so if you'd like to get in your question for Rose Sweet, you are welcome to call. Whether you're Catholic or not, if you have a question about the Catholic, what the Catholic Church teaches or holds about marriage, you are welcome here, 888-318-7884. Going to Georgia now. Patricia is in Georgia, listening on 91.1 FM. Patricia, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Thank you. First, I just want to shout out to my local Catholic station, St. Paul's 91.1. I was listening to a show, and God miraculously brought me into the church. That's all I can say.
Thank you for sharing that, because so many people work so hard in Catholic radio, and for you to say that, that means a lot to many people.
He very quickly said, "This is the truth, Mary's your mother." Do you remember the Bible study you did 7 years ago where you took his July 1st, John 2, 5, do whatever he tells you, this is what I'm telling you.
Oh, so, wow.
I mean, I had no choice. I mean, you know. But oh. Anyway, I was Protestant, Reformed, which I found out really, really don't like the Catholic Church at all. I didn't know, but I would have changed my mind anyway. Anyway, I'd been married 45 years, and my husband divorced me when I became Catholic.
Oof.
So, but the reason I'm calling, I know that wouldn't be a reason, but I have friends. One, she's, you know, pretty along in her years, and she's actually Catholic and has been her whole life, and she's been divorced and married 3 times. And I just, you know, there was a lady at our church last year whose husband divorced her, and she got remarried. So I'm confused. It seems like there's some inconsistency there.
Fair enough, Patricia. What do you say, Rose?
Well, here's the inconsistency. The average Catholic doesn't know very much about marriage and divorce. We know that we want to be in love, we want to have kids, and we're supposed to not cheat on each other and stay together forever. But that's, sadly, that's about where it ends. And so when we get ourselves in a situation, we think we have the right to be happy, the right to pursue our dreams. You know, the whole culture tells us that. The warm, fuzzy Jesus images sometimes, or God images that we have, also tell us that we can do all that. And that's why we need the church to help. And this is, speaking of Catholic radio, this is where I got formation too, because I have multiple marriages mm-hmm. in my past. I was young. I was uneducated. I was prideful. I was fearful. I was caught up in a lot of bad things, and I tripped over myself over and over and over until finally my face hit the concrete and I called out to the Lord. And when the openness of the heart is at that state, that's when God will come in. And, you know, he pushed my little self to Catholic radio, Catholic teachings, Catholic, you know, apologists to help me understand who I was as a person, why I was created, what God is all about, what marriage is all about. I had no idea. And I went to Catholic school. So I got some good basics, but I was a mess. Many people in the church, in our pews, in our neighborhoods are a mess. We need the church. We need grace. We need the sacraments. And we need good, solid teaching like this. So please do what you can, Patricia, from what you've learned as a wonderful convert, to help your friends who are in these situations to find the fullness of the truth and the freedom for which they were made.
Well, thank you for that. But see, my question is, why are some allowed to be divorced and remarried within the Catholic Church? They divorced Catholic, they got remarried in the Catholic Church.
So I totally missed your question. I apologize.
That's okay. No. I love hearing your testimony.
Okay. Well, if you are divorced and you are allowed to be remarried in the Catholic Church, it's because you worked with the tribunal to take a look at the prior marriage, and it was determined that there was sufficient grounds for invalidity, that there was something in the way of that marriage ever lifting off to a true marriage. There was no true marriage bond. Lots of other bonds, not a true marriage bond. So then you're free to attempt marriage again. There is nobody that's allowed to divorce and then remarry in the Catholic Church. You can't skip that middle step. Does that make sense?
They did get an annulment, but it's like they got an annulment, you know, because their husband cheated on them, and I don't think that would work really, would it?
Okay, but this is good. I'm glad you're saying this. Watch out. You or I or nobody knows what really went on behind closed doors and in the mind and the hearts of those two people. We observe people in their marriages, even close people to us, and we don't have all the facts. And that's why I'm so thankful we have the church to help us go to those dark places and get the truth out.
Okay, so I'm caught being judgmental. I'm sorry. Okay.
Hey, I do it all the time, every day, every day.
Yeah, and thank you for your testimony. I left one part out. I heard this program on EWTN because I always listen to Christian radio when I was traveling, and this is the only station that came on.
God got you, Patricia.
I know. I love it. Thank
y'all. Well, thank you. What a magnificent call, and what an encouragement to those who work so hard to provide Catholic radio in big cities and small towns all across the country, all around the world. What beautiful testimony that God reached out and grabbed you. And I'm sorry. I know Rose, I can see it in Rose's face, is sorry as well that after 45 years of marriage, coming into the church is what precipitated your abandonment. That's wrong, and I'm sorry that it happened. We are going to take a break. We'll be right back with more Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Catechism in a Year with me, Father Mike Schmitz, is now available right here on Catholic Radio. Encounter God's plan of sheer goodness for us, revealed in Scripture and passed down through the tradition of the Catholic faith, as we journey together toward our heavenly home.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz, tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Second hour, Jimmy Akin's going to be here with us, and we'll do a bonus hour of Open Forum with Jimmy. This hour, Rose Sweet is our guest, and we talked at the beginning about what constitute and what do not constitute grounds for divorce as far as the Catholic Church is concerned, and taking calls on any aspect of the Catholic teaching on marriage. We'll go to Canton, Massachusetts. Ellen is up next. Ellen's watching on YouTube. Welcome, Ellen. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi, Cy. Hi, Rose. I was just interested in hearing about all the different ways that divorce is allowed in the church. And if that's the case, if it's allowed without an annulment, is it considered a sin? And is it something that needs to be confessed before receiving the Eucharist?
Well, perfect question. Okay, first of all, it depends on the situation. And the you can go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, sections 1649, 2383, and canon law 1151, 1153, and 1692. It all covers this area, and it's very clear. Civil divorce is permitted only when there's some very serious situation that makes your life unbearable, or there's a threat to the spouse or the children, then it does not constitute a sin. It does not need to be confessed, okay? Because it's an act of saving yourself from something horrible. When you get divorced without getting anybody's wise input, you're just tired, you're bored, you're mad, you want whatever the reason is, and you go off and file for divorce without a valid reason, it is a sin, and it does need to be confessed, and it is a serious situation. It's a grave matter. It can be mortal sin. Sometimes it's not mortal sin, but a lot of the times it is. And so no, nobody should approach to receive our Lord in Holy Communion if you're the one who's guilty of leaving the marriage for no good reason and filing for divorce and separating. Now, let's talk about the person who got abandoned. You're divorced and you agreed to it. Finally, the lawyers pushed you down. Your husband said, I'm not ever coming back. You signed the papers and now you're divorced. Work with a good spiritual director on this. If you did not commit any huge sin in this act, then you don't have to confess anything. There's no sin, no confession is necessary. And therefore, you are free to receive Jesus in the sacrament of confession and Holy Eucharist. So for everybody, and let me just remind everybody, all Catholics, no matter what the big serious sin is, don't approach our Lord with the stench of that unconfessed prideful sin and expect to receive him in that intimate act of Holy Communion. Don't do it. Go get cleaned up first and then go back to him. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Thank you. You explained it perfectly.
Thank you.
Ellen, thank you. Thanks very much for the call. I'm just going to keep moving quickly because we have all the lines are full. So let's go to Nebraska now. Carol's in Nebraska listening, and of course, on Spirit Catholic Radio. Carol, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Okay. I am talking to my stepdaughter. She's divorced and remarried and trying to convince her that she really needs to get her first marriage annulled. But she has two hang-ups. One, she is concerned that her ex-husband is going to try and stop the annulment and that he'll be a real pain in the neck about it. And two, she's concerned about what that will mean for her children. So how do I explain it to her?
Okay. There's lots of good information at Catholic.com on this and on my website, rosesweet.com. She can poke around and get more detailed articles. But the short answer is this. First of all, let's talk about the children. The children are not illegitimate. This is a civil term, and those children were born when she was in a valid civil marriage. The children are not illegitimate, and every child is precious in the eyes of the church. However, these might not be the real reasons. And her first reason is about her ex-husband getting involved and stirring things up. When you apply for annulment, when you petition the tribunal, you have to give the name of your spouse as justice to that person. It's their marriage too, and they're informed of it. They do not have to participate. Her husband can get the paperwork saying, oh, your wife has filed for annulment. You can come down and be involved, and he can throw it in the trash. They'll wait a few weeks or months, and on they go without him. She does not need his permission. She has the right to an advocate. She has the right to help as somebody to guide her through the whole thing. So she also, let me bring this up. If there are legitimately dangerous things that if she was afraid that he read or he found out that she told the church that he would come kill her or something like that, she can tell the judge and the judge can make a decision, sometimes yay, sometimes nay, to withhold that part. If he does come down and read everything, he'll keep that part aside for her protection. And again, we could go down a whole, rabbit hole on that. But the church will protect her. The church will walk with her and guide her and help her. I wonder if, here's the thing, it's not just the nasty ex and the kids. She's afraid to surrender or submit herself to the church in this very humbling and painful process. But there's so much healing and so much freedom that can come from it. And grace, 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 grace. So that's what I would encourage her with.
Okay. I will share that information with her. And there's more information on your website, right?
Yeah, rosesweet.com. Just poke around there. rosesweet.com/divorce. And there's lots of free stuff there for her.
Thank you, Carol. I'm just still trying to work through, get everybody on the phone here before we have to let Rose go. So I'm going to Yasmin in Salem, Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio. Yasmin, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hello. Excuse my voice. I've been bothered by this comment that a priest made. I was legally married for 17 years. And then we divorced, and I was under the understanding that legal marriage is now a sacrament, and I could marry in the church whenever I wanted, which I did with my second husband. But then one time a priest told me that my marriage with the second person was invalid.
But you were married in the church?
Not the first time. It was only a legal marriage.
No, but the second time you were married in the church.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. It may have been that you had a very simple annulment case that was more, it's called, you know, it's paperwork. And sometimes the parish doesn't even tell you they're doing it. They hear your story, they process the papers, and they say, okay, you can get married again. Somehow if you got married in the church on the second time, somewhere along the way, somebody at your parish or diocese took care of and found out information and processed that first marriage and declared it to be invalid. I'm hoping.
Does that make sense, Yasmin?
Yeah, but I don't think that happened because it was so quick that the priest that married us told us that the only thing that he needed is just the legal divorce papers, and that's it. And we married within a couple of months, really, from us talking to the priest to the time we actually got married.
Okay, I do want to say this, and I hate to even say this, but there are priests who feel that they're doing a helpful thing to just whisk your prior marriage under the carpet, fill out some paperwork, and let you get married again. And maybe it is indeed your second marriage is invalid. I don't know without all the information, but I know even in my own diocese, this has happened. A few priests around here married people that needed annulments, and he said, you don't need it, it's been too long or whatever. And it caused a big problem in the diocese and with those poor people. So I don't know. Go down to your parish and talk to a really trusted priest and start over again and see what happens. I'm going to keep you in my prayers.
Yasmin, thank you. You can also talk to the deacon. If there's a deacon at your parish, they can help you with that as well. I have to keep moving to try to get everybody on. Amy's in Minnesota listening on 1370 AM. Amy, if you can be kind of quick with your question, we can get Rose to give you an answer.
I can definitely be quick. I'm just calling actually about a relative of mine that went through a divorce about 10, 15 years ago and was married for about 30 years and went through the annulment process, but has not gone to confession in that amount of time. And I'm just really trying to counsel her to do that without, in a non-judgmental way, but I think it's important for her to get to confession. And I'd like to, if you have any ideas.
Okay, can clarify for me, confession, what to confess what? The fact that she was married before and got divorced?
No, just because it's like, if you don't go to confession for that amount of time, I think it's, I think that's important to go.
Yeah, no. It's the church requires you. We need to get to confession because we all carry lots of sins, and those keep us from the graces of God, not from the love of God, but from the graces. And if we neglect, you're right. And if we neglect it, we risk hell. I mean, we have to say that. So pray for her and ask her, you know what? I've learned to be more curious. Just don't tell her what she should do or that you're worried about her. Say, why don't you want to go to confession? What do you feel about confession? And what do you feel about God? How do you think God sees you? Does he love you? Does he just overlook your sins? And I'm not judging. I'm curious. If you could open that kind of safe conversation where she can get down to those issues, sometimes that's really helpful.
Amy, thank you for the call and for the question. And I apologize to a couple callers who were still in line we weren't able to get to, but we did the best we could. Rose Sweet, thank you for a very fine hour.
Thanks. I know this is a tough topic. I'm so glad you guys are always willing to cover it. Thank you.
Well, yeah, but it's one of the primary topics we have to cover, though, because this is, for many people, the obstacle that's keeping them from a regular relationship with the church.
Right. Well, we're in this together. Let's keep doing it.
All righty. Thanks, Rose. We'll see you soon. Jimmy Akin coming up next. We got an open forum for the next hour right after this on Catholic Answers Live.